This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A full slate of games on Sunday, not a Monday doubleheader, which I'm thankful for. There is a World Series game coming up on Monday night, so you'll have together. And I suppose for those of you who are Giants fans, it might be nice to have a distraction. Because the Yankees are playing in the World Series if you don't want to see the Giants on the road at the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this one taking place in the Steel City, and it's the last game of week number 8. But here's the crux. After Russell Wilson gets the vote of confidence, not just that, but the support and the put his money where his mouth is move by Mike Tomlin to make him the starter, Russ slow start to last week's game. Remember, he was hidden, I think it was 19 yards, something along those lines, passing in the first quarter when he was just coming off the bench, coming off the injury, taking over for Justin Fields. And by the time they got to the second, third, fourth quarters, he was in a nicer rhythm, and the Steelers were able to put up some good offensive numbers, better than what they've had to this point. Now, can they sustain it? That is the question. But here's what's on the line. The Steelers can actually take over sole possession of first place in the AFC North and be a game up on the Ravens, who fell in Cleveland yesterday. Steelers can move to 6-2. They can match fellow division leaders Buffalo and Houston. So it's important to keep pace. If you're the Steelers, you want to stay right there in lockstep with the Bills and the Texans. And of course, everybody is at this point looking up at the Chiefs. In the AFC, they've got the 7-0 record, and they're starting to look better on offense as well. This one on the road at Vegas, where they won the Super Bowl just a few short months ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. It's a Monday. OMG. The NFL never fails to disappoint. And as I learned my lesson, I mean, I should have listened to the voice in my head. As I learned my lesson on Sunday, you better wait until the very last second of the game before you deliver any type of analysis or synopsis. I guess final analysis or synopsis. But here's the thing. I know that I wasn't the only one who thought the Bears had just won themselves a football game in D.C. And I refuse to delete my tweet that I posted with 10 seconds left because the replies are hilarious, and because it's okay to think you know about the NFL only to be woefully incorrect, to be proven wrong once again. So it's terrific. This is why the NFL is the best reality show on TV. If you do not know what I'm talking about, well, you better go check out my tweet, because you're going to want to screenshot it. You're going to want to throw it back in my face. I don't care. I love football, and yeah, it's sports, right? It's not life or death. So it's okay for me to laugh at myself along with the rest of you. And many of you are laughing at me. So yeah, if you're looking for some hilarious comments this morning, the thread is pretty funny. And I will read it to you if you haven't seen it when we get to that game following our first break. So we still have to get to a couple of other games, like Tua. He was returning on Sunday for the first time since he was on IR with his latest concussion. So we'll get to Cardinals Dolphins on the back half of this hour. I'm trying to think. Oh, and Falcons Bucks also, a battle in the NFC South. So we'll get to those. But as you can imagine, there were a lot of eyeballs on Cowboys and Niners on Sunday Night Football. So that's where we'll begin this final hour. I think both these teams, rightfully so, had been labeled as teams in desperate need of a win. Now, the Cowboys were coming off of their bye week, and they have got a fairly strenuous stretch in front of them. It does not get any easier after they leave the Bay Area, a place that they actually haven't performed well over the last, what, 5-6 years? And so you have this game, the Niners game, in week 8. Then they go on the road at Atlanta, who is a division leader. Then they're home for the Eagles and the Texans, two other teams that at this point anyway, are in good position for the playoffs. Texans being a 6-win team and a division leader. Then they're on the road at the Commanders. That takes them through the next month. They've got a short work week, and then they play on Thanksgiving. And so even if it's the Giants on Thanksgiving, it's still a fairly drastic turn. Is it Thanksgiving? I got to make sure. I'm looking at my Thanksgiving is late this year. And my handy dandy calendar, it is. Always go with your first answer. It's Thanksgiving, which is actually 1 month, exactly 1 month from today, October 28th. If you can believe we're in the final few days of October. So the Cowboys are in a really tough stretch. It's a buzzsaw. And it began with their game on the road in the Bay Area where, yeah, I mean, I guess you're not surprised anymore to see a Dak Prescott interception pretty early in the game. This was on their second possession. But Dallas was up 10-6 at the half because they were able to put together back-to-back scoring drives. I felt like their touchdown drive in the first half, we got to see a healthy mix. They're trying to run the ball. Not great at it, but they are trying to run the ball behind that offensive line. And they were able to mix in some Ezekiel Elliott and also move the ball around a little bit. And then the Dallas defense prevents a fourth down conversion by the Niners midway through the second quarter. So it looked like the defense was also going to carry its weight in this game. But into the halftime locker room, I heard an interview with Fred Warner after the game. And he was asked, what did you guys talk about in the halftime locker room? And he actually said it wasn't any big thing. It was more about just encouraging each other. Hey, we can clean this up. We can clean that up. We're not far off. It's a few details. Kyle Shanahan said the same thing, and he just mentioned penalties. We really had to stop making those mistakes with penalties and shooting ourselves in the foot. But whatever the case, whether it's an impassioned speech or just, hey, we're better than this, the Niners come out of the halftime locker room motivated, and they barely give up the ball in the third quarter. They had the ball, and I don't remember the exact number, between 11 and 12 minutes of the third quarter. There was another Dak interception in there, which of course shortened the Cowboys' possession. They can't afford those. They don't have the great margin for error like they maybe had last year with their offense and their defense. So the Niners put together three consecutive scoring drives. Now, keeping in mind, they lost Jordan Mason to an injury, and they're relying on a rookie running back.
They put it on the four after a 43-yard dash by Kittle. Juszczyk goes in motion, handoff to Guerrero, straight ahead, touchdown! San Francisco! Here's Brock under center. Guerrero, the long back, the Purdy plunge. He'll take it. Goal line is Purdy in. Right up against the goal line. Touchdown! San Francisco! The Brock Purdy plunge.
Brock Purdy is more and more using his legs as a reliable resource. He's becoming more versatile. We're not talking about a running quarterback where that's his first instinct, but they're certainly putting in more run plays for him, and he's getting more confident, and we're seeing him extend plays sometimes or take off and run when he needs to scramble. And that certainly helps when you don't have Christian McCaffrey, you don't have Jordan Mason for the second half of this game because he's injured. You also have had Deebo Samuel back, right, but didn't have him last game because he was sick. Still, you won't have Brandon Ayuk the rest of the way because of the torn ACL. You don't have Juwan Jennings still. So there's a lot of guys that are in and out, in and out. And so for him to be able to make a play on his own, you can see him, the vision improving, the ability to read what's out there improving. And when he's not airmailing the football, he can be really accurate as well. So yeah, sandwiched in the middle of that is a George Kittle touchdown catch on National Tight Ends Day. He was a big man on campus in this one. Six catches, 128 yards and a score. Did we end up putting him in the Monday MVP poll? All right, so he's in there. We toss a lot of names around, producer Pete and I, so I wanted to be sure before I threw it out there and then really disappointed you Niners fans. So they get three consecutive scoring drives. Kittle is heavily involved, and they're up 17 points into the fourth quarter. But isn't this so like Dallas? In fact, this is what Dallas does. Now, I have no idea. Well, maybe one idea. There was a collision between defenders on one of these CeeDee Lamb touchdowns. But sometimes it's crazy to me that defenses can, and credit the offense and the sets and the, you know, the plays that they draw up, but that they can lose the best option on the field.
Second and goal at the 7. Snap is back. Looking around. Prescott wide floats open. It down to a wide-open wide C.D. Lamb on the left side of the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys. First down at the 20.
Excuse me. They got Ferguson over to Bosa's side on the right side of the Cowboys' offense. Now he's moving out.
3:40 left. Prescott back. Looking. Throwing deep middle. There's a man. Lamb again. Touchdown.
I'm telling you, it's doable.
A pair of touchdowns to a wide-open C.D. Lamb. And you hear the calls there with Brad Sham and Babe Laufenberg, who was on the show recently. But less enthusiastic, right? Because initially they're trailing by 3 scores. Now, San Francisco does add a field goal in this fourth quarter and really doesn't allow Dallas any room on their last-ditch attempt. So ultimately, it looks a little closer than it was after that third quarter. I don't know if anyone's checked on Jerry Jones. Do we hear from Jerry Jones after the game? I can imagine he's not thrilled, though maybe going to be less defensive when he does his Tuesday interview on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. The team is, yeah, it's underperforming. I know they have a few injuries, but it's got to be frustrating. And that's a word that you hear a lot from these guys. Mike McCarthy, definitely on the hot seat. I mean, they're not doing enough with what they have.
Third quarter was obviously a factor in the outcome. The 3-3 and outs on offense, and the one giveaway, and obviously their point and really production there. But yeah, I mean, you have ebb and flows of the game. We definitely stayed in that valley way too long.
Me personally, frustrated myself that my play. I imagine the rest of the guys are not getting a win. Two in a row, sitting at 3-4. But I can definitely tell you that nobody's shaken or given up. Frustration is very high.
Well, that's good news.
But it's a long season. I mean, it's a long season. Division games, a lot are still ahead of us. Frustrated. So that's the best way that I can put it.
Cowboys only end up with 56 yards rushing, which infinitely makes offense more challenging when you can't get a run game going, and that's been an issue for them a lot of the season. Now, CD ends up with 13 catches and 146 yards with the 2 scores, so you kind of waste that, though a lot of it does come on those 2 touchdown throws. As for the Niners, and you want to flip it, this is not just about the Cowboys offense. Flip it on its head. No Christian McCaffrey, no Jordan Mason for all of this game. And yet the Niners rush for 223 yards. And this has been an Achilles heel over and over for the Cowboys this year to give up so many yards rushing. So you've got, Brock Purdy over 50 yards. Isaac Garendo, who's the rookie, 85 yards. Ricky Pearsall, who's a wide receiver, but takes a handoff and goes 39 yards. Remember, this is the rookie who returned to the football field last week after getting shot in the summertime, and what a great story this is. So yeah, they're using him in a different way so that they can try to increase their versatility. They hand the ball off to 6 different guys, and then Purdy runs as well. 223 yards rushing. They're gashing the Cowboys, as other teams have done in some of their more blowout losses, most of those being at home. So it may not be Jerry Jones who gets irritated and flies off the handle and has maybe some misplaced aggression this week, but Trayvon Diggs has already taken care of that. If you haven't seen the exchange, well, it's out there. It's going viral. Mike Leslie, who's an anchor and a reporter, who's been on the show before in Dallas, he was covering this game in the Bay Area for WFAA. And at one point during the game, he tweets, "What is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play?" And he includes a video, right? So he's doing this in the course of the game. He's doing his job and he's out there on social. Somehow, I would venture to guess that Diggs gets to his phone following the game, and his phone is blown up with people who are sending him a screenshot or telling him about it. And so he doesn't even need to see it himself. He just can look at his phone and know that he's been the subject of this tweet. So Mike Leslie is standing behind the rope outside the Cowboys locker room, because that's what happens underneath the bowels of the stadium. You've got a reporter section. They're kind of roped off. But it's not that far from the door of the locker room. So Diggs comes out and confronts Mike Leslie in the minutes following this game.
Out of that whole play, that's what you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
That's what you got from that whole play. That's what you got from that.
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What?
At the end there, you hear a beep. I guess that's because producer Pete felt like D's nuts. Is that... Now, did you bleep that out or did someone else bleep it out?
I bleeped that out.
Okay, so you felt like, oh, shoot. And I've said it a couple of times here on the show. are D's nuts, is that considered some of the words we're not supposed to say?
No, but it's like, you know... We'll
is that
okay.
Censorship?
No.
Are you censoring me?
No, I'm saving Trayvon Diggs from himself.
Oh, no, it's too late for that. So, yes, it gets bleeped out at the end. But after he goes back and forth with Leslie and of course, challenges Mike's knowledge of football, which Mike agrees. I wouldn't know the first thing to do on that play. As he's walking away, he says, how about you comment about D's nuts? And Mike... takes to social and his entire tweet is, I do not have a comment about D's nuts. Sorry, Pete. Pete, are you embarrassed? Am I embarrassing you?
No.
Okay. So Trayvon Diggs, he'll be trending. Maybe he's saving Jerry Jones this week. But he was obviously frustrated. The Cowboys are frustrated. They're 3-4. And as I say, the Niners were able to run the ball at will, which then changes everything for your offense. So San Francisco, after a slow start, they end up going 3-for-4 in the red zone and really turn it around there in that third quarter. And as for Mike Shanahan, that's his dad, but I do love Mike Shanahan. As for Kyle Shanahan, he's always kind of giving it to us straight when it comes to Brock Purdy. But yeah, this was a solid game for Purdy with 260 and a couple of touchdowns.
It was a gut check for him. I mean, for all of us, you know, things in the first half, you know, we were close, but it didn't go great. Brock, there's a couple of plays I know he'd love to have back, and I thought he came out in the second half, and there's a few plays that weren't there, and he did a hell of a job extending with his feet. The one in particular, trying to throw a screen to Debo, and the DN peeled with it, and which is means you have no play, and he just ran and turned it into a 16-yarder. So he did some real big things there in the second half.
I would say that the Cowboys, because they're not playing good football right now, I mean stretches, but it's not consistent enough, the Dak interceptions get a lot of attention. And he has thrown his fair share of interceptions. And there's two of them in this game that waste possessions and that give them all the momentum right back to the Niners, especially the one in the third quarter. They would be able to withstand that if it weren't for the fact that they really have a margin for error. The defense is not as good as we've talked about. The run defense is terrible. And they just don't have the ability to hold opponents at bay, nor is the offense scoring at the same clip that it was. So they don't have the same ability to overcome their mistakes that we saw last year. So they're not losing games. Well, they're not losing all their games by a ton. The ones at home, those are rough. But they're at 3-4, and really what the biggest issue for them, according to Mike McCarthy, is their run defense, and that's what they have to fix. But I know a lot of the attention will be on Dak because of the interceptions, but he doesn't play defense. And 223 yards rushing generally means that you are way out of whack when it comes to time of possession and ball control, and the Niners were able to use that. So they moved to 4-4, and how about this? Three-way tie atop the NFC West at 4-4. Some things do actually change from year to year. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, we got our post up for Monday MVP. Straight ahead, I own it when I jump the gun, but it was the moment of the season so far. Maybe, can you say that? We get so many moments from the NFL. But man, what a wild finish between the Bears and Commanders after 3.5 quarters of not a whole lot of offense. Good morning to you. It's Monday, October 28th. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
Bears have 3 timeouts. They're on their feet here in Washington. There's a bunch of nervous Nellies in here right now, baby. Both Bears and Washington fans.
There's 5 in this booth.
2nd and goal to 1 with 27 ticks to go. Bears down 5 under center. Caleb Williams Deep back, Roschon, take, turn, give. Roschon Johnson, plowing, turning. He is in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Off the right side of the offensive line at 23 seconds to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that moment for the Bears was dramatic in more ways than one. First of all, it happens with just a few seconds left on the clock, 25 seconds. So they're under a half a minute to go in a game in which the Commanders had only had field goals and the Bears had had just one touchdown and had really struggled offensively. Weirdly enough, both these teams in their game on Sunday in D.C. were well over 160 yards rushing. In fact, the Bears nearly had 200 yards rushing, but it was a lot of up and down the field and a lot of disjointed offensive drives, not productive drives. And as I say, the Commanders, they were 0-for-3 in the red zone and kept settling for field goals. But that call with Jeff Joniak and company on Bears radio was a second chance, because two possessions before that, the Bears were also on the 1 yard line. They tried a trick play, a handoff to an O lineman. And the ball was fumbled in the handoff, probably because he's not used to taking a handoff from Caleb Williams. The fumble was recovered by Washington, and there went their best opportunity of the day. However, the Bears defense gave the ball back to Caleb Williams, and they were able to get to a 10-play drive together and finally into the end zone with the 1 yard run by Johnson. Again, 25 seconds left in the game. Now, I am not the only one who thought, now, I'll use the old adage, you know what happens when you assume, and I definitely did make an ass out of me. I am not the only one who thought the game was over. Why? Well, because Hail Marys are, well, wait till you hear Jaden Daniels tell you what he thinks about Hail Marys, but they can be once in a lifetime. It's like Aaron Rodgers is the one in the NFL who's had more than one, but they're not common. They are very low percentage plays, and there wasn't a whole lot of time left. I mean, I guess you could argue the Commanders might have been better trying a hook and ladder play, right, where they just try to work it upfield, but they didn't have any good options, which is the point. So I am watching the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm sure a lot of people watching the game. And I start to put my tweet together because I was really impressed with the gritty comeback by Chicago. So I put that into a tweet as I'm watching the game. I'm working on my laptop, especially after the demoralizing fumble on the goal line earlier in the fourth quarter. All right, so far so good. Gritty comeback. Yeah, demoralizing fumble, blah, blah, blah. Then I jump the gun. The kind of road win that gives the team confidence. Not perfect, but satisfying. It's kind of like my tweet. Not perfect, but satisfying. And I use my little hashtags. And then I ignore the voice in my head that says, maybe you should wait the next 10 seconds before the game is done. I'm like, ah, what are the chances anyway, really? So I post the tweet. I mean, I'm not going to take it down now because the replies are hilarious, as in hilarious. You need a Monday morning humor. Just go look at what people wrote back to me. It was amazing. Also, it's just a reminder of how terrific it is to be an NFL fan.
Bears at 8 deep, 4 of them at the goal line. They bring 3. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
World Series! Just go, baby!
night. You really can't understand a whole lot of what they're saying on the Commanders radio network, but who cares? We know what happened, and if you haven't seen it, it's worth finding on social this morning again. It'll make you smile because the NFL is so good. I love football. We're all in this together if we're football fans. It's one of those moments that you can't help but, I don't know, punch someone, jump up and down, yell, wake up the cat and the dog and your sleeping spouse on the couch. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. So Jaden Daniels, facing mild pressure, not a lot of pressure, of course, because the majority of the Bears defenders are back in the scrum just shy of the goal line. And so he's got a couple of guys coming at him, but his O-line is spread out and they're giving him plenty of time. So he evades, he escapes, he extends. The last Bears potential pass rusher, it really wasn't a pass rush, but the last Bears D lineman who's anywhere close to him gets blocked and falls to the ground. And that is when, that's 13 seconds later, by the way, he extends the play for 13 seconds, which is why pandemonium erupts, because it felt like it was in slow motion. So he launches the ball. He's on his own 35-yard line. He launches the ball 65 yards in the air. It comes down into a whole big scrum of bodies, but Zach Ertz, who's a tall man, he tips it up in the air, and back behind him, standing all by his lonesome in the end zone, is Noah Brown. It is the least stressful catch of a Hail Mary that you will ever see. It fell right into his lap. And yes, total chaos and pandemonium erupt inside the stadium, running, jumping, yelling, screaming, and then the dejection for the Bears. Oh, well, and also for me, because my tweet was already out there, but whatever. I decided not to delete it. So you all go and check it out. I swear it will make you smile at A-Law Radio. And also, if you want to go and see some of the reaction videos, they're also online. They're really funny too. Just the Dan Quinn running around looking for someone to hug. I mean, those moments, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, but it's so shocking. That's the part that's so great about it. So yeah, Hail Mary for the Commanders.
The plays also leading up to it were a really big deal, because when you're in that spot, you don't have timeouts, and we used one early, obviously, to get out of bounds, to give yourself a chance at the next play. And I thought the real factor was there of Zach Ertz, you know, going up to get a tip, to keep the ball alive, for Noah to get there, because it's hard just to go up and snatch it. So you almost have to go up and expect a bounce or a tip to go. And I thought Jaden did a fantastic job of, you know, buying time, over to the right side. To left side. I don't know how long the play was. Maybe you guys might, but it took a long-ass time. 13 seconds, yeah. I felt every bit of them.
I was juiced up for sure. I'm excited because, I mean, that's kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like, not too many people get to experience stuff like that. That was my first time. So, obviously, I was juiced up the whole stadium, team, sideline, everybody. I mean, it's specifics that and details that we try to coach up, but at the end of the day, it's like everybody runs to a spot, buy some time, and let it fly.
Before, obviously, that last play was 12 points. So they, let's give them kudos. Obviously, it's a heart-wrenching play to have. We practice it. Trust me, we practice it. And, you know, sometimes things just don't go your way. You know, it's tough when it's something like that.
That's the voice of Caleb Williams. Yeah, total shock to be on the wrong end of it. And so here are the Commanders who are, they get the bounce. And of course, you work on it. That's what Caleb's saying, is you work on these things over and over again. But there's no guarantee that in that moment, it's all going to go the way that you practiced. It's impossible to practice it in a real game situation. And you so rarely get it in a real game situation that you don't have a lot of practice and a lot of reps at full speed and all that jazz. And so it's an incredible moment. We've had two Hail Marys now, right? This season, we had a Jets Hail Mary at the end of a first half game. Now, they ended up losing that game, if I remember correctly. But this was for a win. It's at the end of a game for a win. So really incredible. And for that reason, Noah Brown is one of our candidates for Monday MVP on this October 28th. And big picture, the fact that the Commanders have moved to 6-2 is incredible. And I'm so happy for the fan base, because they've waited so long through name changes, ownership changes, scandal with the previous owners, some of them not even wanting to acknowledge that they're Washington fans. How many quarterbacks under Ron Rivera? I mean, we talked to him last week, and he said the last three seasons were really difficult. So a revolving door of personnel, some of your best defenders traded away to the point where you're starting fresh, and now look at them at 6-2. I dare say you could call them this year's version of the Houston Texans from 23, but they've got their own identity and they are flying high. Eagles, by the way, get a big victory over the Bengals on Sunday. So they are 5-2. They've already had their bye. The Commanders have not. So we'll try to work in some Eagles before the hour is done, but we still have a few games to get to. We're going to jam them in there. It was too good. It was too good not to go back to the Commanders and a Hail Mary, because hail yes, we love that as football fans. At A-Law Radio, laugh away. Also on our Facebook page, you can vote for Monday MVP. I mean, it'd be boring to be right all the time anyway. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. We kick off with Sunday Night Football.
Here's Brock under center, Durando the lawn back to Purdy. Plunge! He'll take it. Goal line. Is Purdy in? Right up against the goal line. Touchdown! San Francisco! The Brock Purdy plunge.
Greg Papa on 49ers Radio. The Niners beat the Cowboys 30-24. Brock Purdy threw for 260 yards and a touchdown, along with a touchdown run. Elsewhere, Chiefs over the Raiders 27-20. Broncos 28, Panthers 14. The Commanders over the Bears 18-15. Jaden Daniels, a 52-yard Hail Mary touchdown pass to Noah Brown with no time remaining. Other games, Bills over the Seahawks 31-10, Chargers 26, Saints 8, the Eagles beat the Bengals 37-17, Falcons over the Bucks 31-26, it was the Patriots over the Jets 25-22, Cardinals 28, Dolphins 27, the Packers over the Jaguars 30-27, Texans beat the Colts 23-20, Lions over the Titans 52-14, and the Browns beat the Ravens 29-24. NBA, the Clippers over the Warriors, 112-104. James Harden at 23.7 rebounds and 11 assists. Thunder over the Hawks, 128-104. Blazers, 125. Pelicans, 103. Cam Thomas had 32 points. Nets over the Bucks, 115-102. And Tyrese Maxey with 45 points. In overtime, the Sixers beat the Pacers, 118-114. NHL, the Avalanche over the Senators, 5-4. The Canadiens beat the Flyers 4-3. Devils over the Ducks 6-2. In overtime, Oilers beat the Red Wings 3-2. NASCAR at Homestead, your winner, Tyler Reddick. Ryan Blaney came in second. Denny Hamlin finished third. I'm Peter Schwartz.
You make the call. 855-212-4227. When you want to talk to us, call 855-212-4227.
Shotgun. Hurts. Looks. He is rolling. He's looking. He's pumping. He is going deep downfield, and it is caught. Devontae Smith. Touchdown. The bomb.
Yeah, you get it to Devontae Smith anywhere in his vicinity, and this is what he does.
Made clutch catches. Not a surprise. I mean, the last time he was shut out in a game, he had one for minus two last week, but the last time he was shut out in a game, he came back and had, I think, like eight for 176. Like, that's the way the game goes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. When Jalen Hurts has his top two wide receivers, it's a completely different offense for Philadelphia. And yeah, Devontae comes back with six catches for 85 yards, including half of them on that deep shot from Jalen in the third quarter. On the calls with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Eagles Radio. We don't have time to go through the whole game, but suffice it to say that the run game was locked in and the tush push is still working and working to perfection. So yeah, this game was actually tied at 10 at the break between the Eagles and Bengals in Cincinnati. But the fact that Jalen Hurts was able to rush for 3 touchdowns and that the Eagles, at least with their run game, look a lot more like what we saw the year they went to the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know if they can sustain it. We will see whether or not they can sustain it. But after they got that run game rolling, they were able to go in front for good on the Devontae catch, but also in the fourth quarter, tacking on Hurts' 3rd rushing touchdown. Saquon was well over 100 yards rushing, so he's fit in extremely well. The Eagles get 10 points off turnovers. So Cincinnati had a couple of turnovers in the fourth quarter, which really crushed any chances that they had to rally. So a couple of things that stood out to me is that they had nearly 400 yards of offense, and they also were 7 of 12 on 3rd and 4th down. So looking better on that side of the ball.
It's a great team win, a great showing. As a team, when you play like that on defense and you're able to stop an offense capable of playing at a high level and with the star players that they have, that's a great job.
As for the Bengals, well, the Eagles are 5-2 now, so they're just a tick below the Commanders in the NFC East. The Bengals are 3-5, and I don't want to say it's impossible because it's not. There's so much time left. We're not even at the midway point yet in the NFL season, though we're getting close. It's just that the AFC is so packed, and they can't seem to put together a complete 60-minute game. They can't seem to use the old cliche, be firing on all cylinders so that they can come up with a good win. It's either the offense is terrific and the defense sucks, or the opposite. And they're just not, they're just not in that space where I feel like they're a dangerous team all the time. They can be, but they tend to then have these moments and these sequences where they really hurt themselves. And, you know, Zach Taylor's got to own the fact that sometimes his decisions are not smart either. So in the third quarter, he goes for it on a 4th-and-1, and they end up getting stopped on downs. Then the 2 fourth quarter turnovers. So it's like they really squandered away their late possessions. And yeah, Joe Burrow, he ends up with 234 yards, a touchdown and a pick, but doesn't like what they did at the end of the game.
First drive, second half, went down, scored a touchdown. And then after that, it was, didn't get it on 4th down, threw a pick, and then we fumbled.
He's so frustrated, you can hear it. And yeah, kind of, I don't want to say it defies logic. They were without T. Higgins. They did have Jamar Chase. Chase Brown got into the end zone, which was great. It's not been a cohesive attack by the Bengals. Again, it's either all or, well, it's not really all. It's not been all. It's either all of one side and nothing on the other side, or it's the opposite. So I'm sure they're really frustrated, though the AFC North is not playing quite the same as it was a year ago either, right? So we've talked a lot about the different quarterback situations. Deshaun Watson's gone, but Jameis Winston comes in with 3 touchdowns. Drake May gets knocked out with a concussion, and they say they're being cautious. But Jacoby Brissett comes in and leads the Patriots to a late rally against the New York Jets and a win over their arch rivals. Obviously, the Vegas Raiders are without their starting quarterback. Aiden O'Connell was supposed to be their starter. Now Gardner Minshew's back as their starter, and he's been a bit of a mess the last few weeks. A lot of teams dealing with different quarterback situations. The Dolphins have an entire offense that's built around Tua Tagovailoa, and after his concussion week 2, they had to pivot, and then they lost Skylar Thompson, and then they had to bring in Tyler Huntley, and Tyler Huntley got hurt. So it's been awful for their offense, but mostly you want Tua to be healthy. And they've been saying all along, he feels good. They put him on IR to make sure that he recovered. Well, he was back on Sunday, and yeah, in the first half, they had 3 scoring drives. So it was good to see Tua step right back on the field and get into the flow.
Play action. Got a screen set up to A-chain, back inside, touchdown, Miami.
So fast. Boy, defenders came up so worried about getting blocked, and A-chain just took off. Man, is he fast. Looked easy getting in the end zone.
And Achane had a great game. He rushed for nearly 100 yards. Then he had another six catches for 50 yards. And that score from Tua on the Dolphins radio network. Miami also able to run the ball a bunch, right? They started the third quarter with a near 50-yard run and then a 12-yard touchdown run, too. And I know that there was still some kind of getting back into the flow, maybe shaking the rust off. That seemed evident when Tua let a snap go right through his hands, and they were backed up on the goal line. And so Arizona gets a safety there. Maybe that sparked the Cardinals, because after that, Kyler Murray was really moving the ball. He was mixing in James Conner. He was also going to his rookie wide receiver, Marvin Harrison. He hauls in a 22-yard touchdown. So this is a good back and forth. Raheem Mostert was really active. So again, having Tua out there, I think it helps the entire offense. It's not just the threat of the pass with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and others, but it's also the fact that the defense can't just clamp down on the run game. And so Mostert's getting healthy again. He had a second touchdown run that began the fourth quarter and gave Miami a 9-point lead. But yeah, Kyler Murray, he's been looking better. He starts moving quickly. They have another deep shot that flips the field, and they get into the red zone. And I love the fact that James Conner has found new life there in Arizona as well. So it's his 2-yard rushing TD that makes this a 27-25 game. Cardinals defense had to do its part, had to force a Miami punt with 5 minutes to go. And then it was Kyler Murray on the march to set up a potential game-winning field goal.
1 second left, Cardinals down two, 34-yard try. Snap, ball down, the kick from Ryland is up, and the kick is good, and the Cardinals win it. The officials took a long time to signal. The kick is good from Ryland, and Arizona wins it at the buzzer again, 28-27 in Miami.
Back-to-back wins for the Cardinals for the first time since 2021, which, of course, is around these Kyler Murray injuries and the coaching change as well. But, yeah, that last drive, they go from being down 9 to kicking that game-winning field goal from 34 yards out. Chad Ryland gets lifted up on the shoulders of his teammates. But they go 73 yards in 13 plays. They work the clock masterfully to set up that game-winning kick. Dave Pasch on Cardinals radio. So the Dolphins don't win. They fall to 2-5. Cardinals get to 4-4. But for Tua, anyway, good to see him out there and looking like Tua.
I've been preparing for 5 weeks as if I were to play while I was on IR. So, you know, that's what it was. So it felt normal coming out there.
He ends up 28 of 38 for 234 yards and a touchdown. And the passing offense was, it wasn't great in the second half. They did more with the run game. So the fact that he only got sacked once and was only hit 3 times is critical. If you remember back to last season when Tua had more passing yards than any other quarterback in the NFL, when the Dolphins scored more points, they were nearly 30 points per game last season in the league. Well, partly it was because Tua was not getting hit. He didn't want to have to take any unnecessary risks, and he was getting rid of the ball quickly. And so that's a lot of what you saw yesterday.
Just look within. What can we do to get better? What can we do to continue to encourage each other? Because that's what it takes. It takes everyone inside that locker room if we want to get to where we want to go.
I know they didn't win, but I can imagine this is encouraging for them and everybody just happy to see Tua on the field and looking like himself, looking like the guy who can chuck and duck. But again, he's said too, he has to be smart. He can't take unnecessary risks, and I don't want him to. So we'll see if the Dolphins have a second half run in them, but they're 2-5. Although they're, this is crazy, they're 2-5, but they're in second place in the AFC East. The Patriots and the Jets are 2-6. And I said earlier, I think that's actually great for the Pats because of what they're going through this year in a rebuild. The Bills may clinch this division by week 10. Now, I'm not going to tweet that because, you know, it might come back to bite me. I wonder, producer Pete, if that Twitter account, Freezing Cold Takes, will get a hold of my post from 15 seconds to go in the Commanders-Bears game. Loved it. We'll be back tonight. We'll get to the games we missed, plus Monday Night Football and World Series Game 3. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.